The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
At that time, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. He went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at a table, and behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at a table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who's touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And they could not pay, he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then, turning to the woman, Jesus said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those at a table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may sit. Mary Magdalene had seven demons cast out of her. And she followed Jesus. She was present at the cross. And as we just sang, she was the first person to see Jesus alive on Easter morning. Those are the accounts that bear her name in the Bible. But the tradition in the Christian church has long been to attach her name to a few other nameless women's stories also. She is also the woman caught in adultery in John, against whom our Lord refuses to cast a stone. She is also Martha, and Lazarus' sister, the Mary who lived at Bethany. And she is also this sinful woman who comes to Jesus and anoints his feet in today's historic gospel reading for the Feast of Mary Magdalene. In the life of the church, she has become the church's every woman. And for my part, I don't see any harm in letting that tradition go on. But I know others do. And it's not just those Christian nitpickers who don't have any imagination. Anyone who's ever read or seen Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code knows that there's a pretty spectacular conspiracy theory that has been cooked up surrounding Mary Magdalene. They suggest that she was Jesus' secret wife. Well, there's also a little less fantastic version that goes something like this, that Mary Magdalene is really the great proto-feminist. She was an apostle alongside the other apostles, but a powerful Roman church led by men just couldn't handle that. So they began a smear campaign on this poor woman. They saddled Mary Magdalene with all of those other stories in the Testament, like the one we heard today, to make her a prostitute, caught in the act. She's a sinful woman from the city. She's a dirty person. See, she's no apostle. She's a gross sinner. She's the kind of woman who needs to spend her time groveling at Jesus' feet, listening to his words. That's a woman's place, right? It's just the kind of thing you'd expect from a patriarchal, misogynistic church like the likes of St. Paul and the apostles were. No, instead, we in our time need to remember Mary Magdalene as she really was. She was a hero. She's probably even the first woman pastor. Dear saints, I hope that you can see through the silliness of that kind of a thought. Also, the many logical fallacies in those conspiracy theories that are weaved around her. But most of all, dear saints, I want you to know and to see how those ideas go against everything that is in today's gospel, whether you want to call that woman Mary or not. Jesus, the loyal firstborn son of the divine patriarch, God the Father, does not put down or slander or demonize this sinful woman at all. He praises her. He holds her up. And it does Mary Magdalene's name no injury at all to be connected with this sinful woman from the city. Far from it. It is Jesus' entire point today that the Simon, that Pharisee who thought so highly of himself, must learn from her. It is the one who is forgiven much who also loves much. It is the one who is forgiven little that loves little. Jesus, in today's gospel, praises this woman's repentance, all of it. For the last few weeks, we have been talking about biblical repentance, that great change of mind, change of thinking that is worked by the Holy Spirit, and how it includes two parts. The first part is contrition, what we usually mean when we say, I repent. That is, the terrors that strike the conscience through the knowledge and recognition of sin. But also, the second and necessary part of true repentance, that is, faith itself. Faith that seeks the forgiveness of sins in Christ and believes that for his sake, those sins are forgiven. And all of the terrors of conscience that we have are comforting. And if anyone wishes, you may also include in this the result of such a whole change, a whole repentance, namely love and good works, which are the fruits of repentance. Now, as we consider this occasion with Jesus and with this woman at Simon the Pharisee's house, you need to picture in your mind the whole scene. And yes, the stage directions are also very important. So here is Jesus. He is reclining on the couch, eating at the table of Simon the Pharisee, who is a very proud and outwardly religious man. And in comes this woman, who is weeping, and obviously weeping so greatly that her tears are enough to wipe away the dust and the grime from Jesus' desert feet. Jesus knows the true reason why she is weeping. He even knows what Simon, his host, is thinking to himself in his head. How he's thinking. Jesus, this lady of the city, is putting moves on you. So some holy teacher you must be if you're going to let this keep going on. Simon, I have something to say to you. Oh, lay it on me, teacher. And Jesus tells his simple parable, to which the answer is obvious. Even Simon can get it right. A canceled debt is always great news. But the one who is aware of just how large that freed debt is, that person will respond to such freedom with great thanksgiving and with deep love. And then Jesus, he looks at Mary. But he is still speaking to Simon. He is saying, come, I'm inviting you to look here, everybody. Do you see this woman? I want you to learn something from her, Simon. Look at this. She is everything that you said she was, and more. She is sinful. She is common. She is unlearned. Yes, she is a woman. And yet, Simon, she acknowledges me as the Christ. And you, a wealthy and renowned doctor of the law, do not. She has done everything that you might expect a host to do, and done it in the most dramatic and tender of all ways, and you have done none of this for me. The Pharisees so often in the Gospels bring somebody else in. They bring in a lame man, or they bring in a person possessed by a demon or some trouble, and they dangle these sick people in front of Jesus, not caring at all about them, but just as bait to try and trap Jesus. Well, here today, Jesus is dangling Mary out in front of Simon, but not to abuse her, not to use her or despise this poor woman as if she were a mere object lesson. But he does it to hold her up, to hold her before him as a joyful example that he should imitate, to imitate her total repentance. It's just like when God is bragging almost to Satan. Have you seen my man Job down there? Have you seen him? Such delight God takes in his Christians. And yes, such delight he takes in sinners. Thanks be to God for that. And then Jesus reveals what is so well pleasing with her. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. Now be careful. If you aren't watching the stage directions, you'll get very confused. The words out of context that Jesus says kind of suggest, well, she is forgiven because she loves much. It sounds maybe like Jesus is saying to her, your love has saved you. Yeah. But the true broken cover-ups in the church have always wanted Jesus to say that very thing. Because they teach that we are saved not by Christ alone, as otherwise hopeless sinners, but that we are, by our own works, able to make ourselves righteous by following someone else's role model, make ourselves worthy of God's favor and worthy of eternal life also. But Jesus does not say any of that at all to Mary. He is still speaking to Simon and looking at her. Simon, I tell you that her sins are forgiven. You can see it plainly. If only you would look at her for a moment instead of at yourself. Look at her. She loves much. She is overflowing with love. She is overflowing with the kind of love that only comes from being forgiven much and knowing it. Now, this was not the teaching that Simon expected or wanted to hear. He wanted what many still want. And I couldn't have found a more deeply misguided statement of what people want than what I found snooping around on the internet this week. And not surprisingly, it comes from a nun who was lamenting again that Mary Magdalene's name might be slandered by sticking it together with today's gospel account. She says, women looking to the Bible for inspiration already have a limited choice of female role models. And then when we suddenly cut Mary Magdalene off at the knees and turn her into some kind of evil pervert by connecting her with the woman in today's gospel. When we do this, we deprive men and women, but especially women, of a figure with whom they can identify. Lord, have mercy. Christ wants everyone to identify with this woman. Christ wants everybody to identify with this sinful woman. He praises her. He praises her entire worship, her entire repentance, her weeping over her sins, her faith, which seeks out those beautiful feet of Christ, the ones that bring the gospel and preach the good news and announce. Not that you should go find a role model that you can identify with in your success. Simon thought he had that in himself. No, but that you can go and find her and see that she is seeking the double forgiveness for all of her sins and has it. And even that she is bringing forth the fruit of such repentance and faith in this great sign of love for Christ, this confession of her faith in these tender acts of love. And then at last Jesus does turn to her, and he speaks a word directly to her. And it is the word that she had come back to hear yet again. Your sins are forgiven. He absolves her. So let the Simons of her age and let the scoffers and all the conspiracy theorists of our age scoff all they want at this. Because we Christians know much better. We know that the forgiveness of sins is the greatest power on earth. It is not a power that oppresses or belittles or cuts down. It is the only power that saves. It is the power that gives life and hope to those who have none at all. It is the power that raises the dead, sanctifies the unholy. This woman in today's gospel is the greatest possible example for men and for women and for people of all ages and times, precisely because of what we see in today's gospel. No, she is not interested in empowering anyone with her own inspiration. No, she comes with this opinion. The opinion that the forgiveness of sins is to be sought in Christ. She could have thought nothing greater about him. I tell you, she has what she came for. And Jesus tells her too, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Go in peace. Not by her sorrow, not by her love, but by her faith in him. Now I think any story as amazing as that, and any woman so blessed as that, just has to have a name. By God's grace and power, by his Holy Spirit, you, dear saints, do not be ashamed or afraid to add into this story also your name. Not in place of prideful Simon's, but in place of Mary's. Know your sins much. Be forgiven much. And make your beginning also at loving much. For I tell you, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.